Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Hey guys, and welcome to Mysteries and Histories with me, your host, Georgia Marie. This podcast audio is adapted from my YouTube channel. I wanted to make my content more accessible for those of you on the go, and we all love a podcast. So if I ever reference anything on screen or a photograph, please bear in mind this audio was originally made for video. It won't hinder your listening experience at all, but just to save any confusion. And if you do want to go and subscribe to my channel, I'm just Georgia Marie over on YouTube. And with that, let's get into it. On February 22nd, 1985, 8-year-old Cherry Mahan stepped off her school bus in Cabot, Pennsylvania, ready to walk the short distance home. But in the span of just a few minutes, in her very own neighbourhood, she vanished without a trace. Cherry's case was one of the first to launch a massive public awareness campaign, becoming a heartbreaking symbol for missing children across America, and still, decades later, her disappearance remains one of the most haunting mysteries, with countless theories, dead-end leads, and an unsolved trail that has never led to any answers. Cherry Mahan just disappeared, she just vanished. But earlier this year, police announced that it is possible, after 39 years, she could still be alive. Cherry was born on the 14th of August 1976 to her mum, Janice Mahan. Janice was just 16 years old and Cherry hadn't been planned. Janice would later share how she had been raped and Cherry was conceived as a result of that. However, at the time and for many, many years after, the police didn't believe Janice when she tried to report what had happened. And this is very relevant to later in the episode. As far as I've been able to find, Cherry's biological father's name has never been released to the public. We don't know who he is. So Cherry was raised by her mum, who just absolutely adored her daughter from the moment that she was born. Janice said they grew up together in a way, and Cherry was just her entire life. She dedicated herself to her daughter. For the first almost 6 years of Cherry's life, they lived in Janice's parents' house in Saxonburg, Pennsylvania, and then Janice met a man called Leroy McKinney. He was a Vietnam veteran who was a good few years older than Janice, but they fell madly in love and got married in 1982, at which point they all moved in together. Leroy became Cherry's official stepfather, and together they all lived in a trailer park. Everything seemed to be very good, Cherry was happy, Janice was happy, life was great. But as I said, Janice did everything for her daughter and she wasn't happy with their life in a cramped trailer park. She wanted space for Cherry to be able to be a kid, to run and play in nature with other kids her age. And so around August 1984, they decided to move to a mobile home on the top of a hill in Cabot, Winfield Township in Pennsylvania. Now this was a really rural area, their home was on Corn Planter Road and it was at the top of a 500 foot long driveway. But Cherry could finally have the kind of childhood that Janice wanted for her, freedom, friends, happiness, just nature to explore. Cherry attended the local Winfield Elementary School, where teachers said that she was a very bright, popular, happy child. She was very talkative, very friendly, everyone liked her. At this point, Cherry was 8 years old and she was growing into a really happy, well-rounded kid. But then the 22nd of February 1985 came around, this was a Friday, and Cherry had been at school that day as usual. Nothing seemed strange, untoward, everything was just completely normal. Except for that day, Janice and Leroy both had the day off work. Usually Janice's daily routine was to finish work just in time to go and meet Cherry at the bus stop after school, so they would then walk down the road and up the driveway together. But on the day in question, Janice wasn't at work, she was at home, and so she decided to give her daughter just a bit of independence, just letting her walk back from the bus stop on her own. Cherry was a very sensible girl, like Janice had no doubt that Cherry would know just to walk straight back home. And this bus stop really was not far away from the house, it was about 500 feet or 152 metres down the road, and then another 500 feet up their own driveway. I mean, it was close enough that Janice and Leroy both heard the bus pull up and open its doors, knowing to expect Cherry within the next few minutes. But then she didn't appear, she didn't come home. After about 5 minutes, they were really beginning to wonder like where Cherry had got to. There were other kids who got off the bus at the same stop, but they lived at a house immediately next to the stop, so Cherry would have been doing the majority of this walk, this very short walk, on her own. So it's not like she would have been distracted by a friend. Leroy decided to go out and find her, assuming that maybe Cherry had fallen over and hurt herself or got distracted by something. No one at this point thought for a second that it could have been anything darker than that. But he quickly returned with no sign of his stepdaughter. Cherry was just nowhere to be seen. But still not wanting to jump to conclusions, Janice and Leroy then decide to jump in the car and follow the bus to its next stop, just in case maybe Cherry had forgotten to get off, maybe she was distracted by her friends, but the bus driver told them that Cherry wasn't there, she definitely got off at the right stop, they'd seen her get off. So somehow, in the short walk from the bus stop to the house, Cherry had disappeared. And it's at this point that it becomes quite clear that something bad had happened, like somebody had taken her. Cherry wouldn't have gone off wandering on her own. She was super excited to get home that afternoon because she had a play date organised with some friends. Janice was working all weekend, so Cherry was going to go stay with a friend. She was really excited. And she'd even already told Janice what she wanted for dinner that night. Like, she had everything planned out. She was going to come home, eat as quickly as possible, then she was going to go to her friends for this great weekend she had planned. Like, she wouldn't have not come home.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
So when Janice and Leroy got home after stalking the bus, the first thing Janice did was call her own mum, who she was very, very close to. I can only assume that she wanted somebody to like talk her down off the ledge, tell her that maybe she was being silly, panicking so much, so quickly. But instead, the opposite happened. Janice hung up and called the police immediately, who swiftly arrived at the scene. Cherry Ann Mahan was 8 years old when she disappeared, although she would be 48 years old today. She was white, 4'2", 68 pounds, with brown hair and hazel eyes. She had pierced ears and a scar on her left arm from a dog bite. She had also previously broken her left arm below her shoulder, which was an injury which had only very recently healed at the time of her disappearance. On that day, Cherry was wearing a grey coat with a denim skirt, white leotard, blue leg warmers, tan ankle boots, and cabbage patch earmuffs. She would have been carrying a blue book bag at the time, and none of these items have ever been found. Today, her dentals and DNA are available for identification purposes. On that day, by the time Janice got in contact with the police, it was nearing 4 p.m. and everything from this point onwards just happened really, really quickly. But it was February, by this time it was about to get dark, and that obviously complicates any immediate searches. But the searches did take place regardless, and there was no sign of Cherry. She had literally just vanished into thin air. There was no sign of a scuffle, no sign of any violence, there was just nothing. She just disappeared. Janice was immediately pretty concerned because Cherry was a very friendly girl. She would chat away to anyone and she didn't really know what a stranger was. Like if somebody came up to her chatting or said for her to get in the car, maybe Janice had sent them to pick her up, she would have done it without a second thought. I'm sure Janice tried to teach her about stranger danger, but like some kids, they just don't take that on. Some kids are just friendly and they just love anyone. Cherry would have been very, very easy to abduct. There probably wasn't any need for any kind of a scuffle or fight. Cherry disappeared on Friday afternoon, and over the weekend, investigators focused in on several different avenues. The on-foot search went on for a number of days, and her parents were also intensely questioned. Janice and Leroy had to each individually go through questioning that lasted 6 or 7 hours. In speaking to different media in recent years, Janice had said that the questioning was very vigorous, and whilst it was painful for her, while she wanted to be out there searching for her daughter, she knew that this was just the police doing their jobs. Sadly, in a lot of cases of child abduction, somebody close to them, a family member, turns out to be the culprit. But Janice and Leroy knew nothing. They were with each other all day, Cherry had undeniably gotten off the school bus, and half an hour later, she's being reported as missing. And they were both soon cleared in the investigation. Investigators also spoke to the bus driver and all of the children on the bus that day, hoping that one of them might have seen somebody taking Cherry. They didn't, but it did reveal a very promising lead in this case. Multiple of the children reported seeing a very unique van following the school bus that day. It was either a bright blue or a green 1976 Dodge van with a mural of a snow-capped mountain and skier painted on both sides. The skier was skiing down the mountain wearing red and yellow clothing. But despite this being such an identifiable van, it has never been located, and investigators aren't sure if it was truly connected to Cherry's case or not. It is very interesting to me that despite the extensive media attention on this case, the driver of this van never came forward, nor did anyone else. Like, this is possibly about as identifiable as a car can get. There's not going to be many Dodge vans with a skiing mural driving around this area. So how has no one ever reported knowing somebody with this van? Even though this case is now almost 40 years old, this is still the kind of thing that somebody could remember, and it's not too late to report it to investigators. Whilst it is very questionable that the driver of this van never came forward, I do have to wonder just how brazen you have to be to abduct a child in such an identifiable vehicle. If this van was responsible, and we don't know for sure that it was, this would strike me as more of a crime of opportunity rather than something planned, because you just wouldn't abduct a child. You wouldn't plan to abduct a child in a van with a mural painted on the side, especially when you know there's going to be so many witnesses. Like, a child, an entire school bus full of children are going to notice this really cool, fun van. But there was also another car spotted near the scene as well. It was a small blue car, and this has also gone untraced. The police don't know whether this has anything to do with Cherry's disappearance. But in terms of helpful leads in the case, that was about it, at least as far as the police have ever shared with the public. There were potential sightings of Cherry in Michigan and New Jersey, but they never led anywhere. That was pretty much it. But despite this complete lack of leads, Cherry's case soon became one of the most infamous unsolved missing child cases in the United States, almost everyone across the entire country knew of Cherry's name and face. Her smiling photo was ingrained in everyone's minds. And this is in part thanks to the National Centre for Missing and Exploited Children, who, on the back of her disappearance, came up with a brand new initiative called Have You Seen Me, in collaboration with the United States Postal Service and Velasis, which was one of the country's leading media and marketing companies. Velasis published a weekly circular called Red Plum that showcases coloured photos of missing children and their alleged abductors, if they're known. And these circulars went out to millions of homes across the United States. Nowadays, it goes out to more than 100 million households. And it has been estimated that at its peak, 9 out of 10 Americans were viewing these circulars. And these circulars had the faces of missing children in them. Like, that's a lot of eyes on these missing kids.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Cherry was the first child to be featured in such a way. This was inspired by her disappearance, which probably lent a hand to her face and name becoming so infamous. Since inception, over 164 children have been recovered thanks to this initiative. According to the National Centre for Missing and Exploited Children, 92% of missing children are endangered runaways, 4% are family abductions, 3% are critically missing young adults aged between 18 and 20, 1% are lost or injured, and less than 1% are non-family abductions. And Cherry's case just so happened to fall into that less than 1%. The authorities fully believe that somebody outside of her family was responsible for her disappearance, and that makes it so much harder to investigate. But that doesn't mean that there aren't theories out there. Janice especially has had a lot of thoughts over the years about what could have happened to her daughter. And she does believe that there may be connections between her rape, Cherry's biological father, her conception, and her abduction. Janice told CBS Pittsburgh that she believes that her rapist, who once again has never been publicly identified, may have had something to do with Cherry's disappearance, but she doesn't believe that he himself is the one responsible. Instead, she said it was maybe somebody connected to him. This is a very loose theory. Janice doesn't really expand on her thoughts behind this or why she thinks it. But she does think that this rape could go a lot deeper than maybe anyone realised, that perhaps the rapist was scared of being found out and potentially convicted if it was confirmed that Cherry was his child. At this time though, DNA fingerprinting genetics was very much in its infancy. It was only just being used in paternity cases. I actually did a video very recently where I spoke about the inception of DNA fingerprinting. I'll link it down below. It's really, really interesting. It literally happened around this time. So I just don't think in 1985 your standard person would have been all that concerned about something like this, about DNA fingerprinting and genetics and being confirmed as the father and the rapist. Like, I just don't think that would have been something to worry about. If that was a theory for a case today in 2024, maybe. 1985? I don't really think so. Janice has also said that she's become pretty certain over the years that if Cherry wasn't abducted on that day, it would have just been another day. She said she spent a very long time feeling guilty over not being there to pick Cherry up at the bus stop that day for the very first time ever. But she does have reason to believe that her daughter may have been being watched, that at some point this was always going to happen. The trailer that the family lived in on top of this hill had three bedrooms. Janice and Leroy shared a room at the back, and Cherry took the second largest bedroom at the other end of the trailer, a room that had this big, impressive bay window. But after about a month or so of living there, remember they only moved in about 7 months prior to her disappearance, Cherry asked Janice if she could move to the tiny third bedroom instead. Cherry said that she didn't want to be in that big bedroom anymore, and Janice agreed to let her switch. And later it came out that Cherry had felt like somebody was watching her through that big bay window. She was so convinced of this that she even had Janice put up these really thick thermal curtains in her new room so nobody outside could see anything. At the time, Janice didn't really think much of this at all. She put it down to the overactive imagination of a child. But now she wonders if maybe there was some truth to what Cherry was saying, like, was somebody really watching her? Janice has said that if somebody was watching, it would have been quite easy for them to do so. They could have very easily snuck up the driveway without anyone noticing and just hidden away in the trees. Once again though, there's no proof of this, it's all just speculation, wanderings. The only person who knows the truth at this point is the abductor and maybe Cherry. Some people out there believe that Leroy, the stepfather, might have been involved in some way. Apparently he was involved in drugs. I don't really have any more information on this than he was just involved in drugs, and apparently he owed some people some money. There's theories that said people took Cherry for payment, but there was never any blackmail, any ransom. Like, you owe somebody money for drugs, so they take your stepdaughter instead. Like, that sounds more like the plot of a Hollywood movie than something that would actually happen in real life. Janice has said that she can't confirm or deny this rumour. It could be possible, she said, but once again, there's no way of knowing. Leroy was a very good stepfather. There's no doubt that he wasn't directly responsible for Cherry's disappearance. Like, he didn't abduct her himself. Like, that is very, very clear. He could have been involved in some, like, roundabout way because of his actions. We don't know. Janice said she doesn't know. Leroy has since died, so there's no way to get those answers, but she doesn't believe that he knew anything directly. And it does seem like Leroy and Janice remained together until the very, very end. They were very much in love. Like, Janice loved her daughter more than anything, and if she thought that Leroy was responsible, she would have left him. Like, I don't think she would have been able to deal with that, but she stayed with him until the day he died. Years later, apparently somebody came forward to Janice and told her that their old neighbour in the trailer park that they'd lived in before had molested Cherry. It was the son of this man who came forward. He said that he believed his father had something to do with Cherry's disappearance, but once again, very frustratingly, nothing can be proven. I can only assume that investigators have looked into all of these leads and they just haven't led anywhere. Even to this day, police have said they get in a lot of tips about Cherry's case. Sometimes they'll get in 2 tips a day and then it'll go quiet for months on end, but there's always stuff coming in.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
And this is not a cold case. It is still being actively investigated. Every lead is given a proper look at. And sometimes these leads do seem quite promising. In January 2011, they received a tip that they deemed to be potentially crucial to the investigation in the future, although the police declined to release any specific details. That is kind of a recurring thing in this case. I really do get the feeling the police have more information than they've released, but they're not releasing it to the public. All they said is that this information came from somebody that Cherry knew in life, and this apparently led them to a known specific actor or actors. To this day, that is all we know about it, and that is so intriguing. Like, to a known actor or actor, like, are we talking like a Hollywood actor? Like, somebody the regular public would know about that has connection to Cherry Mahan's disappearance? I have no idea. That is so, so intriguing. But that was 2011, and as far as I've been able to find, the police never did release any specific details about this, so I doubt they ever will. In 2014, there was a tip that Cherry was still alive and living under a different name in Michigan. This was in regards to a woman who had been adopted as a child and didn't know anything about her past. And it wasn't her who sent in the tip, but instead somebody who knew her, I think. Anyway, DNA testing was done. She was not Cherry. In 2018, Janice received an anonymous handwritten letter which described in vivid, vivid detail what had happened to Cherry. It detailed who had murdered her daughter, how they'd done it, and where her remains had been buried, concluding, "I pray you find some peace after you find her body." But despite following this lead all the way through to the end and the FBI even getting involved, Cherry has not been found, and this letter was more than likely a hoax, because yes, there are truly people out there who get off on sending these kinds of letters, giving families of missing people false hope. There are truly some horrifyingly sick people out there. Quite often over the years, people have come forward claiming to be Cherry, the most recent of which was from just this year. I found articles from June 2024 stating that the police received reports that a woman had been on a Facebook group called Memories of Cherry Mahan, claiming to be Cherry. And literally Janice, Cherry's mum, was on this group. Around the same time, the woman also contacted the police and left a voicemail with her address and telephone number. However, when they tried to reach out, she was nowhere to be found. However, the caller's fingerprints, or at least the name and address that she gave on this voicemail, were already in the police database. So they went ahead and made the comparison to Cherry's fingerprints. And you know what? It wasn't a match, of course. Cherry was declared legally dead in 1998 as just somewhat of a formality. It was just to release some funds that were being held in her name. Laws in the US state that somebody has to be missing for at least 7 years in order to be declared legally dead. The funds were a trust fund that was then transferred over to her younger brother Robert, who was born 4 years after Cherry's disappearance, to Janice and Leroy. Janice also made a donation of $50,000 to the National Centre for Missing and Exploited Children, which then went on to become the reward sum for any information leading to Cherry's safe return. Obviously, that has never been claimed. Whilst Cherry is legally dead, she's declared dead in absentia. There is some belief amongst law enforcement that she could still be alive. It's definitely not something that has been completely dismissed as a possibility. Almost 40 years on now, it does seem pretty incredible that she could be out there somewhere, but there is always a chance, however slim it is. We hear all the time of people coming back after being missing for maybe decades. There's never been any actual evidence that Cherry's dead, and is it maybe better to believe that she's alive? I don't know, that's up to you, I suppose. Personally, I do kind of hope that if she was abducted, that her life was ended quite swiftly, because we all know what conditions some of these girls can be kept in when they're kidnapped and kept alive for decades on end. That's just, death is a mercy, in my opinion, in those cases. But you got to believe what makes it easier for you. Thank you so much for tuning in today. As always, I'll leave all the details down below for law enforcement, just in case any of you happen to know anything, especially if you lived in this area in Pennsylvania, if your parents lived in this area in Pennsylvania in this time. Just maybe refresh them on this case. If you knew or your parents knew of anybody who drove a Dodge van with a mural of a skier and mountain on the side.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Then the police would probably really like to hear from you. Again, thank you for tuning in today, and I will see you in the next one. Bye, guys. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Mysteries and Histories. If you have a bit of time, I would love for you to go and leave a review wherever you're listening to this podcast and spread the word. It would be much appreciated. I'll see you next week.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.